This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world. Scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities. From Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Now, just having talked about some of the challenges of being a trans person in the US of A, there are celebrations in the state of Virginia. It has become the 12th state to ban the gay and trans panic defence. This is basically a loophole in the law that allows people to say, oh, they were trying to hit on me, or oh, they were trying to, you know, make advances. Therefore, I either seriously assaulted them or killed them. It was signed by the governor, Ralph Northam, and passed into law just this week. It basically says that in a person's actual or perceived gender identity, sex or sexual orientation cannot be used as a defence in these charges of things like capital murder, assault, wounding, those sorts of crimes where there's malice. So it's kind of, you know, we would think, we would hope it's a bit of a no-brainer, but
Australia's also grappled with this after the Sydney killings, you know, back in the 90s.
Yeah,
I think 80s and 90s, where it was stricken off.
I think most states now, if not all, have now got it. I did read recently there was another state, whether it was South Australia or Tassie, that was sort of tidying up their books recently. So pleasing to see that that's another one. Yeah. It was passed through both houses. The interesting thing about this story, it was put up by a Democratic Party delegate, Danica Rom, and she was inspired by one of her teenage constituents who was out, sent an email saying, please pass the bill, and it got this delegate thinking about, you know, the bad times where, you know, Matthew Shepard was brutally murdered and a few others. And I think, to me, it says the power of personal stories. When you put that to people who can make a difference, who, you know, lawmakers, your local member, the power of telling your personal story to them can really make a difference. Shannon, you've been keeping an eye on Russia.
So, Russia, we have a LGBT social media page that, followed by tens of thousands of queer Russian and allies, has been blocked by the authorities. However, it has, you know, vowed to continue fighting. So it's called the Alliance of Straits and LGBT for Equality. And it's Russia's most popular social media network.
Doesn't even mention the word gay in there. What do they get enough upset about?
And it was removed on the 19th by the country's communications regulator for classic promoting non-traditional sexual relations.
Okay. That's this good is old the line. Who's looking after the children?
Yeah, that good old excuse. Line. And yeah, so that it when you try to go onto it, a page comes up that says, you know, this contains information, the distribution of which is prohibited by a court decision in the Russian Federation, and it doesn't allow you to see it.
It seems they weren't engaged at all by the authorities, and it just went down, you know, just overnight. But I mean, what I see from this story, the good thing is that they're not going to take it lying down. This group have sought legal advice and are challenging
the
states.
I mean, maybe the appeal could be successful.
Yeah, and sometimes the courts are willing to go places that perhaps the, the media or others who are sort of closer to the government's influence. So who knows? But also they're saying, look, that you know they realise this could have happened any day. It's the old the gay propaganda law has been around, what, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years in Russia and some of the surrounding countries. So I think they've just been waiting and it's happened and now, well, to the courts. Alex, some internationally renowned news from Australia.
Yes. So back to Australia. It's a first for Australia. Reverend Josephine Joe Inkpin, has become the first openly transgender minister to be inducted into a mainstream church. So she was ordained in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, what she calls a priest for the world. Inkpin emigrated from England 20 years ago with her wife, Reverend Penny Jones, for the health of their twin daughters. She originally was with the Anglican Church in southern Queensland and came out as transgender in 2017 and then had to move to the Uniting Church, which was more accepting, always has been, where she says she was allowed to become more, allowed to fully come into her own self. She says, a lot of churches are struggling to come to terms with these things, but it's time we claimed our space. So that's why I'm in Pitt Street, to be able to move forward a lot of things, including gender diversity affirmation.
It's one of those things, you can't be what you can't see.
Yes.
So having somebody who is visible, open and accepted by their local congregation can really send a powerful message.
She said there's a direct link to her, what do you call it, constituency or her...
Parish, I don't know.
Parish, yes, because a lot of parents are grappling with these issues of their children's identities.
She recognises the job's not done too. So yeah. for issues of faith and the LGBTI community, there's still, you know, she calls it fraught terrain, you know, yes. Because religion can become quite weaponized. She particularly called out the Religious Freedom Bill raised by One Nation in the New South Wales Parliament as, you know, trying to really weaponize faith and religion.
Yeah, I love when she says that she has a hollow laugh when she hears them talking about transgender ideology. Haven't we heard that before with queer ideology? I'd love to know what that exactly is.
It's all part of the gay agenda, remember?
Yes, gay agenda, yes.
Now, look, 20 years ago, do you remember what you were doing 20 years ago?
I was just starting primary school.
Oh, be quiet, Shannon. 20 years ago, the world's first legal same-sex marriage happened in the Netherlands.
Wow.
When I first read this, I thought, no, it can't be that. Has there been that much change in such a small amount of time? Netherlands has always sort of been one of the very, very progressive countries in terms of LGBT rights. It was midnight on the 1st of April 2001. The Mayor Job Cohen married three gay couples and one lesbian couple in a ceremony in Amsterdam. And they had registered partnerships up until that time, but the marriage, same-sex marriage laws
since
came in.
Then 20,000.
Yeah, which originally when I saw 20,000, I thought, doesn't seem a lot. But then I did kind of the math. It's two or three a day. That's pretty decent.
Yeah.
And you've got to think how many, like I've never seen it as something I necessarily would go down the path of doing with a partner. I'd be happy with a civil union or some sort of legal status just so that, you know, to secure things like retirement, this inheritance. But, you know, so you think how many, you know, 20,000 out of probably, you know, I don't know what statistically, what percentage of LGBTI couples choose this option. You know, interesting. Note. But since then, there's been 13 EU countries and outside the EU, well, including the EU, is 29 across the world. So it's
We congratulate and we thank the Netherlands for blazing the way, and that's a wrap.
Danke wel.
That's your worldwide wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.